Hello, I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We talk about books this hour of the program and spring reading with Daniel Golden, who is owner of Boswell Books. What did I tell you last hour? He was going to walk through the door with a pile of books. Well, he did. He brought, carried it, a huge box of books, and they're spread out all over our studios here in Milwaukee, and we're going to have a rip-roaring good time this hour. Daniel's been in the book business for a long time. His bookstore, Boswell Books in Milwaukee, is wonderful. They do all kinds of outreach, too, to schools in this area. Michael Pollan, they're bringing him in. We'll talk about authors who are coming, but as important, he'll give us recommendations of books, fiction, nonfiction, biography, history, cooking, gardening, you name it, and we'll be welcoming phone calls for Daniel. Our number, as always, is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. The email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Daniel, how did you carry all those books in here?
I need a lot of visual props. It makes me happy to touch the books. And it was, I don't know if you've discussed it, but everybody's very excited. There was a very long security system I used to have to walk through. And I heard that they don't have that long thing where you take all the stuff out of your pocket. So I thought, I can bring a bigger box.
And so you did, and we thank you for it. I just love the fact that you do this. Let's just talk about the book business for a moment before we get to recommendations. It's interesting to me that what you're doing so much outreach. You're bringing authors in. You're having people at schools. You're selling books. You're reviewing books. You're just such a multi-purpose place now.
I think it was really important for me to make a difference for people to feel like we were more than a bookstore, because it's part of the emotional relationship that we build with our customers. It's also important to me just because I want to do things for people. And I think my whole business model, we're a for-profit business. I'm not getting away from that. But I do feel that that I want to do something more with the business, and I want to do something more with literature. And I don't want every transaction that I do to be monetary. I want to bring in authors for free, and I want to outreach to schools, and I want to, get into the community and into various libraries and things like that. And I think it makes the business more fun for us. It's
right.
A little harder than just opening the doors and waiting for people to walk in, which was really the old model. It's the model I started with. It's like you find a good location, look for the traffic, have the right books, and now we have to be so much more. We still really worry about having the right books. Jason and Amy, who do the buying, work really, really, really long hours making sure that everything's there. They and Conrad restock just the right way. We read all the newspapers and Times and what's on Wisconsin Public Radio, and just saying, interview, got to get the book in, or
right.
Maybe we have it, feature it, does it go up to the front table, that kind of thing. Because so much also that's different about the business is we expect to interact with people who don't know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to change the way books are displayed in the store, not kind of hidden away. We have stuff hidden away because we want to have nice sections, but we also want to have things up front. And doing all this community activity is a way to also outreach to people and say, look at this. This is fun. Maybe you want to try coming and to the store and hang out for a while. And that's what we do. Every big event to drive people into the store, everything we do outside, it might be 1 out of 100. The odds are not great because not everybody wants that.
Mm-hmm.
But, we're just trying to hook in somebody who goes, wow, I didn't really, it was worth going a mile, 5 miles, 20 miles, 50 miles, 100 miles sometimes to hang out at the store for a while and find great books and live a life of discovery and enjoyment and
education. Well,
that's
a nice way to put it, a life of discovery. That's what it is. And it's interesting, it wasn't that long ago that we were talking about whether or not there were going to be physical books, and maybe they'd be gone in a year or 2 years. I was interested in your latest newsletter because you said you're still a place for the physical book, and I'm beginning to think that maybe the physical book is going to have a prominent place for a long time.
I think that it's so difficult to estimate out more than a year at a time. All, you know, the great prognosticators say that we always overestimate change in the short term and underestimate it, technological change in the long term. I think that books, you know, that it might be that some of the books that we take for granted as offset print press, you know, old-fashioned pressing, will be print on demand. There's a change in the quality for the books. You see less hardcovers. But on the other hand, there's also the rise of a lot of artisan presses, sort of like the resurgence of vinyl, for example, or how, you know, painting gets a second wind after photography, or maybe photography gets a second wind after digital photography. So I worry. I worry about the physical book, but I think you're correct that, you know, that there is every sign for this year shows that there may be some slowing of ebooks of penetration. The numbers look very good in a lot of independent bookstores, and that's not to say that I can make projection 5 years out, though.
Yeah, well, that's good. It's good news. All right, let's get to some. Well, no, let's talk about people you're bringing in before we get to suggestions. You had Marlene Stein yesterday, didn't you? Yesterday,
we did.
Talking about what happened in Wisconsin,
and that was a wonderful event, and something that you and I were chatting about, which is journalists that are able to take questions. You know, they're able to reporting is one thing, but being able to interact with the public is another. And I just thought they were terrific because this is a pretty divisive issue.
Yes,
and unlike, you know, there are books on the market that take a position one way or another. But they're really trying to have journalistic integrity and really report. And it was a terrific event. They were great. More Than They Bargained For is the book. And I assume they'll be doing more events around the state. I was trying to look up all the book events at all the bookstores I knew.
There are so many of them. And I think you have another one tonight with, is it a novelist who, it's in my head somewhere. Do you have one tonight?
Oh, yes. We have. Let's just say we have pretty much an event every night through sometime in June.
Remarkable. That is remarkable, Dan.
This was my dream when I was thinking about what I wanted in a bookstore. Aww. And I would look at the stores. I modeled different things in the store on different stores. So the idea of the used books and new books together, that came from Powell's. The idea of being able to move cases around to reconvert regular comfortable, intimate space into event space. That came from a late bookstore in St. Paul called Hungry Minds. But the idea of a really packed schedule came from two stores, Elliott Bay in Seattle and Politics and Prose in Washington. And for years, I got their printed newsletters and their email newsletters. And I love the way that they weren't afraid. There are plenty of other wonderful stores that have very big event schedules. But one of the things I really loved about Politics and Prose is they have a lot of events. They take every single one seriously. And I didn't really want to pack it with events and then feel like I was tossing the event away. You know, oh, five people, oh, whatever. You know, and we, you know, it's one of the reasons that I'm, even when I'm not assigned to the event, because I split it with Stacey, our other event person, I do Monday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and she does Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh,
but unless there's something that she really loves in another day.
Right.
And sometimes, and now Hannah and Jane have been doing events too. But I just said, you know, we want to have it so crowded with events that somebody could say, I just want to do something tonight, and they might be able to come.
Very nice.
So tonight we have this really great novel that I just adored called The Supremes at Earl's All You Can Eat. It's by Edward Kelsey Moore. It's, I guess we say in the world, it's sort of on the literary commercial divide. It's got a lot of commercial appeal. It just hit the Times bestseller list.
Oh, it did?
It did, at number 16 for
all
the
right.
next week. It's about three African-American women in a small town in Indiana that's slowly becoming like a suburb of Louisville. It takes place when they're in the late 50s and then goes back to when they were in high school and they first met. In a particularly difficult year, there's sickness, there's cheating, there's, you know, family fracas and stilted ambitions and secrets and things like that. But it's just so well done. It's sort of like a cross between Fannie Flagg and maybe, you know, a Soul Food or Terry McMillan.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, I read commercial books and I go, you know, I groan sometimes. I go, oh, you know, I just want people to do it as best as they can do it. And this is that book, and the word of mouth's really great. And he's a cellist.
Oh.
So we said to him, because we always like to do something.
Right.
Like if we
right.
can think of something a little offbeat to do, if they're a poet, we want them to read a little poetry before the novel. If bring in somebody beforehand, have a little dance. And we said, you really need to play your cello. So at the store. And the publicist, of course, said, what? But then she wrote back later and she said, he's going to bring his cello.
Very nice.
So that's tonight at 7. And then tomorrow we have actually two Wisconsinites, Christine Sneed's new novel, which is called Little Known Facts, which is about a movie actor in his 50s kind of directing a feature, and all the people orbiting around him, the cast, his children, his estranged two wives, one of which is telling a tell-all, his girlfriend. And it's sort of almost like short stories, but they're very connected. She grew up in Wisconsin. I believe in Green Bay. Christine Sneed, she teaches in Chicago now. And we said, who do you want to read with? And if you want to read with somebody, do you want to like a student opener? Do you want to have us to match you up with somebody? And she said, I want to read with Mike Magnuson, who wrote, who's actually in Oshkosh, and wrote Bike Tribes and Good Man for the Job. And so that was, I love when people know each other. I love, some people read, some people talk. I prefer the talking to the reading unless they're really great, but we do whatever the authors want. But in the, I love when there's two authors, because then it, even if they don't want it to, it always becomes a conversation.
Right.
And
nice.
And the questions just go, take things in very different places. It, one good thing about Q&As with two authors is it doesn't wind up being all focused on one person. The authors are so gracious about bouncing the ideas back and forth. And I always come away going, whoo!
Good. If you come away doing that, then you got something going.
I hope other
you're bringing bringing Michael Pollan in, who's a very big author among our listeners. People love Michael Pollan.
We are so excited. And I don't know if some people notice that we do some ticketed events. We don't do as many as some stores do. And what I usually do is I go to the publicist when I beg. I write up proposals, beg. And then the publicist says, we think we want to do this. These are the ideas we liked of yours. And we kind of bounce them off each other. And one of the decisions is, do they want it in the store? Do they want it at a library? Do they want it in another location? Do they want a partner? In the case of Amy Stewart, we're having she wrote Wicked Plants, and her new book's The Drunken Botanist. They said, we want to involve somehow liquor. So we're doing that one on April 10th at the Great Lakes Distillery.
Oh.
Over 21 only, please. Michael Pollan, some of the publishers say to us, you're going to have to ticket the – we really want the book included. And the reason they do that is because, A, it helps book sales. But, B, he's the kind of author that normally would get a pretty large honorarium. And if you bring in – I, Kathleen Dunn, would like to bring him to my garden club. I don't think you have a garden club, but
– I don't.
And I don't either, and I kind of wish I did.
But let's start one.
It would be very expensive. But if – you know, they allocate a certain number of days after the publication to go to some cities, and they partner with booksellers or sometimes libraries or sometimes organizations and say, you better do a really good job because we're not making you pay the honorarium. And so so we wound up in this one. It's on April 29th for the new book. It's called Cooked, A Natural History of Transformation. It's obviously playing off of Omnivore's Dilemma, and it's going through the cooking process. It's going to be an amazing event. It's a ticketed event. It's at the Oriental Theater.
Oh.
And we're trying to do as much outreach as we could on it. And it's just beginning. But I like to panic early, Kathleen.
Yeah, don't worry about it. Well, just because he's just so interesting. What he's done is so darned interesting, isn't it?
I think so. And, I've read two of the books and loved them both. And, and of course, it's one of those authors that I'm constantly talking to customers about and other booksellers and folks like you. It's basically in this book he's trying to master one recipe, and he's going through various elements and bringing them all together. Mm. So it'll be so much more than
right.
the book. Jason's in the middle of it, and I will get to it. I will have it read, and I will write some outrageous blog post about it. So
we welcome phone calls for Daniel. We'll pause for a moment and return and take calls. He is here to give you book suggestions as well, and we'll find out where you can get more information. They have a great newsletter that you should sign up for so you'll know. I can't believe every day. That is such a huge thing to do, to bring people in every day. You'll get an idea of who's coming to the store and what the recommendations are for the store. But Daniel not only brought a whole lot of books to talk about, he has lists of recommendations, and we will give you a couple places where you can get that list. One will be our Facebook page. Give us a few moments after the show to get it up and running, the Kathleen Dunn Show, and Daniel has a place as well, so we'll get all that information to you. Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is the Kathleen Dunn Show. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Tomorrow during this hour, Hank Greenberg, the hero of heroes, a new biography. My husband is a baseball columnist, and he's been talking about Hank Greenberg for a long, long time. So it will be a pleasure to talk to the author about Hank Greenberg. And, you know, we're celebrating the beginning of baseball, which is going to happen sooner than you know. Pretty soon. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour. We're talking books and recommendations for spring reading, and we start our calls with Diane in Middleton. Hi, Diane.
Hello.
Hi.
I just wanted to share that, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay. Daniel Golden and the Boswell Book Company are mentioned in the March 18th issue of the Christian Science Monitor Weekly magazine, which has a cover story on how the indies hang on, the surprising defiant success of small bookshops.
Oh.
And this article is about 4 or 5 pages long, plus 4 pages of, well, it's 3 pages plus the entire cover of photographs, color photographs of bookstores around the country. And it's just a really informative article. And it was fun to find Boswell's Book Company in it.
I'm sure. March 18, is that what you said, Diane?
The March 18th issue of the Christian Science Monitor.
I'm sure you must be aware of that.
And you can find it online, too, yeah. Yvonne Zipp does a lot of book features for them and a few other places. And she knows the business really well. She talked to a lot of people. She actually went to a bookseller conference.
Oh.
And she was you saw her just talking to, I don't know, she must have been talking to 30, 40 booksellers over the course of the conference.
Yeah, so. Nice. Well, you are getting, and you tend to be modest about these things, but Daniel is also tapped by National Public Radio to give book recommendations several times a year, and your store is getting a lot of attention nationally. That's a very good thing.
Yes, we're very grateful for it. And I think, you know, I could spout all kinds of things about why I think it's good for us to, you know, we do it for a couple of reasons. One, to get on these national tours, you have to be high profile.
Mm-hmm.
We're a secondary market. So we have to almost – we're a secondary market that's not known for, like, being the most literate city in the country. And so we have to work – we have to do a better job than all the cities that are bigger than us in order to qualify. But also, like, you know, there's something really cool if I get mentioned nationally or the store gets mentioned. My buyers, Jason, Amy, Stacy, and a few of my other booksellers have been mentioned for various things. Jane, one of my booksellers, she got a national award when she was at Schwartz. You know, it's nice to see something that doesn't stereotype Milwaukee in the way that national media tends to stereotype Milwaukee. And just something different, something that's positive and that we can be excited about.
Right. Now, you didn't bring all these books in here for nothing, so let's get some recommendations. And if you don't mind, if we could start self-servingly, because we do mostly nonfiction,
Sure.
But we'll get to fiction. Nonfiction, some of your recommendations.
Well, I was asking Jason this morning, I was like, help me come up with I need some categories in terms of spring. I look at the event things and I look at the things as they come out. I write a blog piece on a few books every week that, you know, just seem interesting on a recently published shelf. And I said, what's coming out right now? And because one of the things is I said, where are the history books? He said, well, history books come out closer to Father's Day. The publisher
starts. I never thought of that.
There's two cycles. There's one around April. April, May, and there's one around October, November. They come a little later. Like, the serious nonfiction comes a little later in the fall, and the more commercial, the novels they want to get, you know, word of mouth, tend to come a little earlier in the fall. So he said, well, I think the big history book is Bunker Hill from Nathaniel Philbrook, and that's coming at the end of April. He's really excited about that. I was asking him about biography, and he said, well, you know, the Mother's Day stuff's coming now. So Maya Angelou's book, I think called Mom and Me and Mom, is coming. You know, that sort of tends to go like the first 2 weeks of April. And if you think about it in your head, it's because there are national accounts that need to have theme tables up. So the books have to come in time for the theme table. So everything comes about 6 weeks before the holiday. You also get a slew of fiction then. Cookbooks tend to come more in April because they think of cookbooks even being targeted more towards a woman customer, whereas barbecue books get targeted. Mm, you know, that right. comes a month later than that. So I said, what are the big cookbooks? And he said, well, the one that we've been selling really well is The Little Paris Kitchen by Rachel Ku. I think she's on the not the Food Network, the Cooking Channel, the sister one.
Oh.
And she cooks in a tiny little apartment, and it's got two little tables for people to eat at. And I don't usually hear Jason use the word adorable, but he did in this particular case. In terms of other nonfiction, there's a few things that are – the two books that we've been selling really well are the two Detroit books, the Charlie LaDuff.
We have that. Rhonda said you want to do an interview, and I said, I don't know. I guess we should. Huh?
Yeah,
it's
I
very
think
good.
So. Yeah, okay. And he's a journalist. He's the print things I've read have been fascinating. I think both Detroit guys are interesting. If you want to split the show, there's a lot of things that urban parts of Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Racine, Kenosha, many of the other cities can really learn from and see what's been done right and what's been done wrong.
Okay.
We're really excited, and I think all meteorologists, you know, the Wisconsin Public Radio meteorologists will be really excited about Lee Sandlin's Storm Kings, the untold story of America's first tornado chasers.
Hmm.
He came to the store for a book called Wicked River about the Mississippi that was just a really great event. He's really a wonderful, very knowledgeable writer. And this is sort of accessible history. Hannah in my store read the book and just loved it. And he lives in Chicago, so I think he might wind up doing more. He's coming to us, I think, on April 11th, but he might penetrate further into the state sponsored by your local weather forecaster. I don't know.
There are a lot of people who like the weather. Go ahead.
Oh, no, we can do another question.
Thank you, Diane, for the call. Let's go to Wayne in Two Rivers. Hi, Wayne.
Hi. Boy, I'm excited talking to my two favorite people who I've never met. I would like to ask Daniel why nobody ever reads the fun books anymore, like Matt Scudder, Dismas Hardy, Joe Pike. And I'm a sucker for the Bruce Cameron dog books. Is there something coming out by him?
Little. You can email me, and I can definitely tell you.
Okay.
I'm just Daniel at BoswellBooks.com, and it's everywhere. We do actually like fun books. I'm trying to think of the funnest thing. Well, if you like, can I segue into a dog book, a little dog book?
You
that's
can
really
always fun? Segue okay. into a dog book, if you ask me.
It's not. I wish there was. It's a photography book that just came out or is coming out any second called Maddie on Things.
Huh.
And it is this man who went on a cross-country trip with his dog and basically photographed him in very, you know, not in like doing, you know, just standing on top of stuff. And I know that seems like a really strange and simple concept, but the pictures are just great. And yet, but they don't feel manipulated. I met the dog. He's doing a cross-country trip, so he'll be actually in Milwaukee in July.
You met the dog?
I did meet the dog at this bookseller conference we went to in Kansas City. Maddie ran around a lot. And there's a lot of booksellers. You know, my booksellers just love – it's a blog originally. And my booksellers were like, we need to take pictures of dogs on things. And then another bookstore in Utah took a picture of their bookseller, Maddie, on various things. But it's just sort of a sweet, loving – I mean, you know, you just – you know, it's one of those photography books where you can feel the love, you know, coming out.
Yeah.
Could I ask one more question?
Yeah, sure.
Okay.
Or a comment. And – did I hear right that the Parker books The Donald Westlake books are all going to be reprinted again?
I think they have been slowly being reprinted again. I have to get my – okay, this is going to be something where I'm absolutely wrong, but I feel like maybe University of Chicago, one of the imprints at University of Chicago, has been slowly reprinting Westlake. I know they have a mystery series. I know they did Charlie Chan. And it wouldn't be – I'm seeing it in my head, but – if I had a term, you know, if I had if the fingers were looking things up, I'd be able to do better.
Oh, you're making me feel good that there's a lot of things to read then.
Oh, yes, there are.
Yeah, you should look at that series, though, because if you like old mysteries, there's probably a few other authors you like too.
Hmm. Thank you, Wayne, for the call. Give us more recommendations. Move where you got the books here. You move wherever you want to go.
I was going to mention a local, another history. It's got both Madison and Milwaukee connections. It's Dean Strang's Worse Than the Devil, Anarchists Clarence Darrow, and Justice in the Time of Terror.
Oh, fascinating.
It's about the 1917 Milwaukee police bombing.
Ah.
And we actually had a book a few years ago from Bobby Tanzillo, which was on the same subject. But Strang, who is a lawyer in Madison and has also taught at UW and Marquette, really comes to it from a legal angle, and it's a lot more about the trial, which was with Clarence Darrow.
Mm-hmm.
It's published by University of Wisconsin, and I've been getting very good reads on it. I've started a little of it. I'm not a legal eagle. I don't know what I'm a legal something. But I'm interested in the subject. The bombing was in Bayview. I guess Strang lived on the block the bomb took place for a while. I've lived pretty close to it as well.
Hmm.
And it's an interesting part of history and the way I'm not going to explain it because I'm going to get it. It's a complicated thing about what the anarchists were picked up for and what they went to trial for. I think the words miscarriage of justice were quoted somewhere. So I leave it to other people to.
We have to have that cast on. That'd be fascinating.
He's here. He's at our store on April 5th. I'm assuming he's doing something in Madison as well.
Okay.
And he's probably pretty accessible.
Good. So. All right. Great.
Yeah, it seems like I thought about that and I said, oh, this is a Kathleen Dunn.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We'll get more information before you leave us. All right, good. Our phone lines are open. We have a couple lines open. 800-486-8655 is our number. Daniel Golden from Boswell Books is our guest, and we're getting suggestions for spring reading. Lynn in Lake Forest, Illinois. Hi.
Hi, Kathleen, and thank you for taking my call. I just want to mention before getting into my question that there was a wonderful program on Wisconsin Open Book Radio last Sunday afternoon at 4 p.m. about that event in Bayview.
Oh, the Dean Strang.
Must have been the author.
Which you could probably access, you know, if you have access to a website or whatever. You know, we don't, but anyway, it was very interesting because I had not heard of it at all. My grandparents lived in Bayview.
Oh.
Anyway, I'm talking about our Lake Forest bookstore, which I think is just
I love it, too. I love it, Lake Forest.
You know about it. Okay.
Oh, sure. Sue is one of my favorite people in the universe. She is the greatest. She is such a great reader. I have to tell you, I was like, Sue, we'll email each other back or call. I was like, Sue, what should I read? And she had just recommended The Absolutist by John Boyne, which she's been selling like crazy to people. And I put it in the hands.
Listed on their bestseller list. Yeah.
Yeah.
I went in the store yesterday.
There's a lot of weeping that's going to go involved with that book. It's so beautifully written. Anne read it. My bookseller, Anne, who likes all things Irish. And was blown away. So, I highly recommend, and I forget that's really when I'm traveling south, I get Wisconsin Public Radio through just south of Lake Forest. So,
sure.
You know, I forget that's in our.
I haven't been
area.
To that bookstore. That's great.
Oh, you know, it's not the biggest one in the world, but what's interesting is they got into the location they're in now when a major chain moved out, a Dalton, you know, was closing and so forth, and they got from their little space into a bigger space, and it's just a marvelous, I can't say enough for it, and the variety they have, the expertise of the people working there. I'm older, and I go in to look for something for our neighbor's son, who is in high school for his birthday. He's interested in rugby and golf, and, I mean, I have no clue. If you have any suggestions, they get their heads together and they come up with selections for me and books for me to look at and, you know, things they'll order and so forth. I rely on them.
Yeah. And I do actually
rely on them. And they're connected also with local book clubs and events and so forth too.
it's always nice to have a bookstore you can love. And I think that people come from pretty far. I think she's the only general independent in Lake County. And I think for folks who live in Kenosha, it's, you know, it's six of one, half a dozen or of another, mm-hmm. you know, to come up to Milwaukee or to go down there.
It should go to both. Here's an email that's come in, Daniel. I wonder if you could have Daniel recommend books for book clubs that are interesting, discussion-worthy, but not totally depressing.
Oh, I do have... How funny, I brought my book club brochure.
Well, excellent.
One book that we've had wonderful success with, and I'm going to say that you probably maybe read it already, but if not, you should, is Rules of Civility by Emma Tulls. It actually did hit the paperback bestseller list for a little while. It's set in the 1930s, and it's about – it's got a – F. Scott Fitzgerald, Edith Wharton sort of vibe to it. It's about a young woman from the working class, immigrant working classes, who kind of works her way in society and sort of watches this, becomes involved in the love triangle, but mostly is an observer of the habits of the upper classes. And there's some secrets and some turnarounds. It's really strong characters. It's very 1930s New York. But it's about people making decisions early in their lives. There's actually, we used it for our in-store book club, and it was a good, high discussability. One book that just came out in paperback that my two women I work with, Anne and Jane, who are crazy about is The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry by Rachel Joyce. And it's about a man who finds out that his friend in England is – he's in England too, but they're on the opposite sides – is dying and wants to see him. And so he decides he's going to walk there across the country.
Oh.
And it's about – so it's a sort of a road novel, if you will, about the things that happen along the way. They've compared it a lot to the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. So I just feel like that book, which just came out in paperback, is just perfect for that person who just asked me that question.
Okay. Good. Thank you. Thanks, Lynn, very much for your call. Let's go to Bill in Winneconne. Hi, Bill.
Hi, I feel like I should announce myself as Johnson from the Hebrides, given your bookstore's name. I didn't realize it at first. My question is particularly for 18-year-olds, how have markets changed over the last 20 years, in terms of what people are reading, and what are different age groups reading now, and what's popular?
One of the things that's been really interesting, I think, for young is actually just the rise of this young adult fiction. It's published much more aggressively and commercially than it was 20 years ago. And it's been an interesting – I was just talking about this with Amy, our kids buyer. On one hand, a lot of high school kids read adult books. And we're always looking for those books that cross over. There's one book that we have the event for, Where'd You Go, Bernadette. Maria Semple won what's called, an Alex Award, which are adult book, the best. It's done by the American Library Association, and they are the best books of the year written for adults for teens. So we're always looking at that list for crossover. Another one was Age of Miracles by Karen Thompson Walker. The Semple, I think, was more of a girl book. The Karen Thompson Walker might not be, because it has fantastical elements. It's about the slow end of the earth by the rotation changes, and the world is slowly being destroyed, but in slow motion through the eyes of a young kid. But on the other hand, a lot of these teen books we're finding are being read by people in their 20s and 30s. We're seeing a lot of, fantasy, basically redoing of Lord of the Rings. We're seeing a lot of apocalyptic things in kind of Cormac McCarthy Jr. Obviously, Hunger Games is the most well-known. James Dashner sells very well from that. It's a tough thing. It's interesting. It's being very heavily published. We have two events. For the events, they tend to group a lot of teens together, teen authors together. So on April 4th at Greenfield, we have three teen authors. On May 8th in Shorewood, we have four teen authors. And some of them, like there's one, Amy Tintera's book Reboot, which is on, she's going to be here on May 8th. It's sort of like a Stephen King for teenagers. It's definitely not a girl book at all. It's definitely, would be appealing to both genders. Obviously, John Green has been the phenomenon of the last few years. He's also crossed over to adults. I have adult book clubs reading his books. And he just wrote this amazing recommendation for an author who's coming on April 4th in that Greenfield group called Eleanor and Park. It's about two kids in Omaha who are both kind of misfits, who it follows the two stories. One's overweight, one's sort of I think he's Vietnamese, half Vietnamese, and they're teased by the kids, and they kind of find each other and develop a friendship. Very sad, lots of crying, as these things. The John Green, it's a waterworks kind of book, but they're really well written. I have so many adults reading them, and so that's kind of cool because you can read them together. You know, you can have a father son book club, mother daughter book club. You know, if somebody comes to me with a crazy question like that, I usually I take it upon myself to, as long as it takes, to find three or four good books for them.
You got a good answer there, Bill. You know this area, Daniel. I'm impressed. Thank you, Bill, very much for your call. Our number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Caller left a message wondering if you know about a book written about the Peshtigo fire. He heard about the book somewhere, but he can't find...
Oh, there have been a number of books on the Peshtigo fire, but nothing... And, of course, I'm going to be wrong on this, but I don't... In my narrow window, I can't remember anything in the last year, but if I feel like if you did a little research, and I think probably a few of them are out of print, and so maybe a library is the best way, or an out of print search. Maybe if you were in Milwaukee, most counties have a share service, and I know Ozaukee shares with Sheboygan. I think there was, isn't this ridiculous? What I can remember is I think it was published by Henry Holt.
That's good. Well, they can Google it.
I think also there was a Stuart O'Nan novel maybe about the... No. Right. I don't know.
All right. Go through some other books you brought. And Annie Lamott.
Annie Lamott's... Anne Lamott loves Milwaukee. She's come several times. She's coming on April 6th to our store for a ticketed event for Some Assembly Required, which is her book that's the sort of follow-up to Operating Instructions, which was about the birth of her son, Sam. And this is about the birth of her first grandson, Jax. Oh. And, but the big thing is her presence. She's got a very high profile right now because of Help Thanks Wow, her book about meditation, her meditation prayer book that came out last fall that was like a totally surprise runaway bestseller. Mm. And she has groupies. You know, people are very emotionally – She's mesmerizing. You know, she goes her own way. She's done things very differently from other people. She's and she puts it all into the presentation. Mm-hmm. So I think 2 years ago we had her at Alverno. I have this memory of going to an event at Shorewood, and it was a terrible snowstorm, and she came in 45 minutes late, and we are like, is she going to make it? Is she not going to make it? And everybody stood up and applauded, and it was very heroic, you know, officer and a gentleman kind of. We have an interesting person. There was a book called Steal This. Steal Like an Artist by Austin Kleon last year. And it was very clever ideas about being creative and not really stealing, but appropriating. Sort of like saying, wow, that bookstore in St. Paul moves around the bookcases. I think I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. And we did a few different kind of events, and it went really well. So the publisher came back and said, can you try to do that same thing with Jessica Hagee's How to Be Interesting? She has these very good ideas about sort of inspirational, and it's more businessy, about networking and coming out of your shell and being creative. She often is known for using Venn diagrams, so those little circles that intersect, to make her points. Childlike is the intersection of wonder, curiosity, and awe. So, and she's doing a couple of different crazy things with us. When you said you do everything, I was like, ugh. So we're doing an event with her at the Linden Sculpture Garden Women's Speaker Series.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Very nice.
So you get admission to the grounds. They give you some wine. And that's on April 3rd. And in the evening, it's in their beautiful – if you haven't been to the Linden Sculpture Garden, it is worth it to go early and walk around because it's a really terrific space. That's a ticketed event. You can go on their website. It's $15, including the book. So it's $4 really for admission and the wine and stuff. And then the next morning, we're doing something with Open Mic Innovation in Milwaukee, which is part of the Greater Milwaukee Foundation, I think. And that's in – Open Mic's in the Grand Avenue, just a few blocks from here. And it's on the second floor. That's a free event, but you have to register. And those are going to be more entrepreneurial, creative types. Because this is a kind of book that's just – it's a good graduation book. It's one of those books that anybody who feels like they need a spark. It's a spark. You know, it's like – it's alternative to Tinder.
Right. Let's go next to Barb in Fond du Lac. Hi, Barb.
Good morning, and thank you so much for this show. I just, it's delightful. And I have a question for Daniel about the British author David Lodge. I've just been introduced to him, and I found his writing absolutely engaging. And is he just an old writer? Because you seem to be talking mostly about contemporary stuff.
Oh, he is... he has actually writing currently. There are, you can find contemporary books of his. I was a David Lodge fanatic for a while and read Nice Work, three or four in a row. I think some people call them a trilogy, you know, three books at the same time, you call them a trilogy. But I would go, if you haven't read all three of those, and funny that you should mention this because we're having a little competition. So one of the publishers said, pick an old book. So I do focus a lot on new books. I hardly ever read old books because who has the time? Because I have all these people.
Books, you
have
to, right.
But they said, pick a book from this Random House, which is a big publisher, and we're all going to try to sell our copies. And so I happened to pick a book that is perfect for somebody who likes David Lodge. It's Alison Lurie's Foreign Affairs from 1983, 1984. It's about two academics following the lives of two academics, one who teaches at Cornell. I don't remember that. So I've just started reading it again. It won the Pulitzer Prize. It was shortlisted for the National Book Circle Award. It's just kind of that funny, gentle, smart humor that I think you're appreciating in David Lodge. She's not – I don't remember if she's Brit. I think she was a British person who lived in the United States. So it has that kind of quirkiness. And if I may mention another contemporary writer who you might like, Eleanor Lippman is – the woman who I think if she was British, she would have way more credibility. Like people would be reviewing her on the front page of whatever. But because she's American and she writes about, you know, New York and New England, people feminize it. But I happen to know that a lot of her readers are men. I think Kathleen Shine is another author like that. Lippman is coming for her new book, The View from Penthouse B, which I loved. My 28-year-old bookseller, Hannah, read it, and she basically said, I could not stop smiling. It is not a fall-off-your-seat guffaw. It's character comedy. It's smart. It's situational. It's about two older women, a divorcee and a widow, who wind up having to move in to share a residence. It's kind of a big residence because the divorcee's husband had a lot of money and was a cad, of course. And so they wind up slowly bringing in more and more people into the apartment to share the space. She's going to be at the Milwaukee Public Library, Friends of the Milwaukee Public Library Literary Lunch on April 23rd.
What's the name of it again?
It's called
Daniel?
The View from Penthouse B. I just love her books. I've read like 15 of them now, and I just am I just think they're so funny and so charming and so smart in that sort of like lodge, you know, like it's not. Yeah. It's not guffaw. It's not slapstick. It's not at people's – it's character-driven comedy, so it's not really at people's expense. You can get tickets from the library. You can call Valerie at the Friends. Or we actually put an event, like a ticketing thing on our website so people – because it is an invite thing. Anyone can go, but you have to – you know, it's an invite thing because it includes lunch at the Pfister and the book. So it's not, you know, but when I thought about it, it's like, okay, take the book out. Now the tax and tips included, you're getting it. You know, you could figure out it's like $25 lunch, mm-hmm. which at the Pfister, it's nice.
It's a good event. It'll be memorable. So the book is good. Yeah.
It's 65 altogether.
All right. Thank you, Barb. Thanks for the call. We'll take more in a moment. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour, owner of Boswell Books in Milwaukee, and we're doing spring reading suggestions with him and welcoming your phone calls and emails and all of that. And we'll continue in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Daniel Golden is our guest this hour, owner of Boswell Books. We should also, obviously, you have so much going on every day. You do a newsletter. Do you have a website you want to let people know about?
It's boswellbooks.com. They can sign up for our email newsletter. I do a daily blog, which I'll probably go right back to the store and write about this wonderful experience. that's boswellnbooks.com. And you can, I know this is an odd thing, but every so often people will say, we do, the email newsletter goes out like twice a month, sometimes three times, sometimes once. And every so often someone will say, you don't do enough of them. And I was like, that's the first time anyone's ever said that to an email marketer. Mm. But I said, you can actually take our blog and have it emailed to you. And so, and that's one where I do everything from visit bookstores around the country, write up the new books that came out this week. Right. There's one day of events, but I try to vary it up. Like for somebody who didn't live in Milwaukee, they would still find it interesting. Mm-hmm. And so I try. On the other hand, I will probably tell you like what my favorite cupcake is at Milwaukee Cupcake Company and things like that. So
well, that's information I can use, Daniel. That's
mango.
Can't get enough of the mango, huh? All right. Tom and Stoddard, hi.
Good morning.
Hello.
Yes, hi, Tom.
Daniel and Kathleen, I'm really enjoying this program. And I wanted to point out the toot my horn for my favorite coffee house and bookstore in La Crosse.
Oh, cool.
They are located in an old shoe store, which I used to go to as a kid, and there's a hole in the wall. You go through the door from one to the other, and Jules has just the best scones I've ever had in my life.
Oh, like those.
And the bookstore has approximately half new books and half used, and I go there for all my books, and I really enjoy being there.
I'm going to have to definitely check out the website, and I would love to go. I haven't been to La Crosse in a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about like the bookstores around the state that I like and that I was looking for events. A few of us are going to the Reader's Loft in Green Bay on April 20th for a bookseller meeting. And I saw that Leslie Kagan's going to be there on April 9th. Do you know anyone who's coming up at the La Crosse store? You want to plug anyone?
I don't. Sorry, Daniel, I don't.
Well, you know, everyone who lives within 20 miles is now going to go there for a scone and to browse the shelves, and they can just pick up an event flyer.
Thanks, Tom, very much for your call.
I recommend this. The raspberry.
The raspberry
scone. Oh, yeah. Yeah. That sounds wonderful. George and Wanakee. Hi, George.
Hi. Thanks, Kathleen, for bringing Daniel to us. I want to second the praise for The Absolutist, a book that my gay men's book club read recently, and we felt that it was probably one of the best pieces that we've read in a number of years.
Hmm.
I also just finished a wonderful little book that came to my attention through a brief reading on This American Life called Ladies and Gentlemen, The Bible.
Mm-hmm.
By an author, I think his name is Goldstein, and I think it's wonderfully irreverent for Easter time. And then I have a question for Daniel, and that is, as a club, we're discovering that many bookstores no longer have separate devoted sections to gay fiction or gay lit in general. And I'm wondering, is that the trend today?
Well, this is one of the things that we're very lucky in Milwaukee is that you can shop either way. As we have a LBGT bookstore outwards that's actually pretty close to the store. It's on Murray and Park, I think. Well, you can look it up and find it. But it's a tricky thing. This is true about African-American fiction, for example, as well for us. We happen to have an African-American bookstore in town, too, Reader's Choice, which and I'm pretty knowledgeable about both areas. And so what I always worry about is if there's genre fiction, which is only going to sell to a gay man or a lesbian. They used to be published by NAED and Allison and things like that. And those have really disappeared. And so what you're finding is that LGBT writers are writing books that maybe if I put it in that section, I'm not going to get the audience that I want to have for it. And so and the same thing for African American. Like, I don't want to necessarily ghettoize that author unless they want to be ghettoized. And I can tell what, you know. So it's one of those things that you have to ask a bookseller. Like I said, when somebody comes in and asks me, I actually had a woman come in and ask about lesbian fiction. I said, okay, you really need to read Wing Shooters. You need to read Carrie the One by Carol Anshaw, which both actually have Wisconsin ties. And that's usually the best way for me. Websites and stuff do it too.
All right. Thank you so much for your call, Daniel. Always a great pleasure to have you here.
Sure.
It was just delightful. Thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. Daniel Golden, our guest this hour, he joins us from time to time. He'll return along with his big stack of books. And we can't put all the books because it's just, it's just me here this week. Rhonda's not so, I'll put up the ones that he has recommended, fiction and nonfiction. And he also brought in some other suggestions. And you are putting something on your website too.
Yeah, and actually, I always listen to the show afterwards.
Thank you.
Write everything down. I'll get it to everybody.
Thank you. All right. You'll get it to everybody.
Yes.
Great. All right. Go to the Kathleen Dunn Facebook and we'll link our links together. Thank you, Daniel. Thanks to Rhonda Fanning and Katie Mattson.